What's the best thing about being in outer space? You never need to vacuum. That's because space is a vacuum. There's no air, which explains why Claire and I wore spacesuits when we went outside the ship. Curious? Access Video Encyclopedia Section V for vacuum.
To the future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more. Cause there's still things to explore in Marchy McFly 4. It's Marchy McFly 4. Can you feel it?
Sunday, everybody. It's March 10th, which means it's day 10 of year 4 of Marchy McFly. It finally happened. It took 10 days for me to get there. It took 9 episodes for the cartoon to get there. But finally, we've gone to the future. And look, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Was this a fantastic episode? No, but it was finally something where we weren't going on some sort of history lesson, okay? So I was happy about that. And also, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm watching the Oscars right now. It is Sunday night. I didn't get to this until almost 8 o'clock. The Oscars are on in the background. Right now, Billie Eilish is singing, so I thought I could mute it and just kind of talk to you really quick and say, we were dog sitting, so I didn't have much time to talk earlier today, but I did watch the episode earlier today, and I actually took some notes, but I'm going to go through it, obviously, just like we always do, but I'm not going to waste any more of your time talking about these things. We're just going to get right into it and talk about this next episode of Back to the Future, the animated series, Solar Sailors! So as I said, this is the 9th ever episode of Back to the Future, the animated series, episode 9, season 1, Solar Sailors. It aired November 16th, 1991, was directed by Phil Robinson and written by Earl Kress, John Ludin, and John Loy. There always seems to be a John in there somewhere listed in there. And as I said, this is the first time we finally get to the future. And it's not even their, just their future. It's still our future. They've gone far enough into the future where it could technically still be a possibility, I'm going to guess. And they went far enough in the future where I know I will not be there. Okay, because they travel. Well, I'm not going to say yet where they travel, but they travel far enough away that, let's just put it this way. In 1991, I was 15 years old at this point. So I would be 115. I'll just put it that way, where they travel. And it's exciting. Oh, it's so exciting. The episode starts off with Christopher Lloyd as Doc Brown. He is looking into a telescope and he's talking about stars and galaxies and the moon. And he starts singing about the moon. And he mentions he visited the moon a few years ago. And he's like, let's pull up the family video album. But it keeps showing clips from NASA footage. He's like, oh, the kids haven't filed things right. We must, you know, they keep putting the wrong files with the wrong videos. So it seems to me that they just kind of stretched out a little gag so the animated part could be a little shorter. So then he says, I guess I'll talk to you about another time, another space adventure that I went on. So we jump right into the animated portion, the main story, the main part of this podcast. And it opens on the Brown farm with Clara and Doc on the roof of one of the buildings on their farm, looking through this ridiculously concocted telescope. Looks like it's made partly out of telescope parts and partly out of a wood-burning stove. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's nice that both Doc and Clara are looking up in the sky through a telescope together. If you remember, they did that back in Back to the Future Part 3. The telescope and looking and stargazing was a big part of Clara's, you know, love of science. And it was nice for them to share this romantic moment on their wedding anniversary. Yes, it's their wedding anniversary. They head inside and the boys have some excite, you know, they have a sign, happy anniversary, and they made some decorations, decorations. They made some gifts for them. Vern first made a painting of them that was very nice, but Jules really knocked it out of the park because he created an invention that I wrote down, and he calls it the cross time headliner. Basically, it's some sort of fax machine that is built with a flux capacitor, an extra flux capacitor in it. He types in December 15th, 1791, and he prints out a headline from that day. So it's basically what the internet is today. It says, the Daily Megaphone, only 2 cents. Congress ratifies Bill of Rights. And Vern's like, yeah, big deal. You can go down to, you know, any like a joke store and get an old newspaper, or you can go to the library. But he says, okay, let's try the future. So he punches 100 years into the future, December 15th, 2091. And it says it's the Megabyte Daily, only $85. It's cute that they think there's going to be newspapers in 2091. And there's a big headline that says the McFly space cruiser launches first passenger sail ship to Mars. So there's a company called McFly Space Cruises. Because everything in Hill Valley is either Brown, McFly, Clayton, or Tannen. So they're excited. So they see this McFly space cruises, and Clara's like, wow, wouldn't that be a wonderful second honeymoon? And Jules is like, great idea. Here's a here's tickets that I bought you using a fax machine powered by the flux capacitor and father's credit card, even though that should be expired. They're like, oh, great, finally. And I'm saying finally we're going to the future. They have 2 tickets to this. I don't know how much it cost in 2091. If you should see how much parking is later. And if the newspaper is $85, I can only imagine what this, solar, cruise is going to cost them. So they are, they said, okay, we're going to the future. We'll be back in 2 minutes. They set it for 2 minutes later. I don't know why they don't set it for 30 seconds, but okay, boom, they're gone. The DeLorean leaves. And Jules' machine kind of malfunctions. Smoke blows everywhere. And all of a sudden, I guess because of the DeLorean's explosion, it set things off. And then another headline comes through. It's from the following day. It says, McFly solar spaceship lost in space. Sabotage suspected. So they're like, oh my God, this is crazy. And also in the corner, in the bottom, it says below that, George Burns announces comeback. So at this point, what would he be, 200-something years old? George Burns was old in 91. He's no longer with us, but he's one of those guys who was an actor who was hit it really big. Well, I guess he was around forever, but he kept some sort of relevancy up into his 80s and 90s. So the kids head down to the train and they go to the future. Then we get our first back to the facts. It jumps to commercial and comes back to the facts. And wait a minute, I'm going to pull it up here so I can read it. Ancient Greek astronomers believed that the Earth was the center of the universe. Yeah, okay, great. And they talked about how they thought the moon revolved around the Earth, but they thought everything else did too. So the kids, we see the kids get to the future first. And the first thing they see is an old-looking clock tower. And they're like, oh my God, Hill Valley looks exactly the same. Then they realize they're smashing through a poster board. And on the other side, it's basically like they're in the Jetsons. I mean, it's a giant, it's the future. Everything reminds me of the Jetsons, just buildings with giant glass, robots everywhere, flying cars all over the place. Then we jump over to Doc and Clara, who are asking directions to how to get to McFly's, you know, space sailing place, whatever the hell it's called. They go to this tube. Inside the tube, you have to register where you're going. And this robot, everywhere's a robot who talks to you. They say, where are you going to go? We're going to McFly's. They're like, all right, you'll be there in 8 seconds. And they fly through this tube. The train follows them right after them, follows them in there. And they're like, hey, they didn't register where they're going. So the robot sent them off course. So they ended up in a junkyard or trash. Clara and Doc, they get to the parking lot. There's no other car there, which is weird. But the parking is $100 per hour or $1,000 per day. And we know why there's no other cars there, because this robot comes up. It's like, how you doing? Thanks for parking here. And get out of the car, get all your stuff out. All your bags will be on the boat. And he presses this spray button, this ray, and it shrinks the car down into this tiny little thing. So they don't even have to worry about space at all. The kids go to get on a taxi to try to chase them down just as they get on the boat and are ready to take off. But the kids don't have money to pay for the taxi. So the taxi guy holds them up for a little while until they give him a quarter. He goes, oh my gosh, a quarter from 1989? I'm rich, because it's an ancient coin at this point. It's over 100 years old. Maybe not ancient, but it's old. So he misses as they take off, and we find out that I believe the captain of the ship is Marta McFly. So another McFly is running McFly. Obviously, it can't be Marty. Marta McFly is running this space sailing expedition. So even though the ship is being run by a McFly, it seems like the collaboration between McFlys and Tannins still runs, 100 plus years later, because Ziff Tannin, yes, Ziff Tannin is the saboteur. We see him working on the ship, and we see him like, I'm going to leave a screw loose here, and everyone's going to, you know, like he's going to, basically he wants to murder everybody on board, having no idea that there's any Browns on board, because we see McFlys, we see Tannins, we don't see any talk of Browns in the future, which I hope everyone's okay. But we see him screw, you know, while he is, do the kids see it? Oh yeah, the kids are before they, they're being held by the taxi, before they get out, they see Biff or Ziff screwing with it, but the ship takes off and they are unable to, they're unable to get to it in time. So the kids are kind of thrown to the side, and they see these other kids going to a field trip. They're from the Dan Quayle Elementary School, and they find out that these kids are going to be going on something called the MCS Jennifer. Now the other, I think it was MCS. The other ship is the Marty. That's the one that Doc and Clara are on. And this is a sailing ship. It's a sail ship, but it can also go into the sky and space and all that, whatever. And it's called the Jennifer. So this is another spot, still part of McFly's. And we see that we go back to the main ship, and Doc and Clara are like, oh my God, Marty's on board. And we see Marty entertaining and playing guitar, but it's not Marty. It's some dude named Jimmy who's British. He talk like this, yo, and he dresses up like Marty. Basically, this guy is the greatest Marty McFly impersonator that money can buy. And of course, he works on this cruise ship because, of course, cruise ships have entertainment. And apparently, Marty McFly becomes a huge deal. And this guy, is playing Marty as he's such a huge deal that, of course, the entertainment is Marty McFly music. Kind of reminds me of Bill and Ted and the Wild Stallions in the future, except for the fact that this guy is playing 17-year-old Marty McFly. You think he'd be playing like 27-year-old Marty McFly. That looks like an older Marty. So that would have been, again, correct, but I'm overthinking things. So while they see them talking to Jimmy, all of a sudden, the fake Marty, all of a sudden, this wing snaps off. And they're like, oh my God, the wing snapped off. And the captain's like, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. No problem. We cut to commercial, but she's freaking out. And then we get another back to the facts. It says, unlike our planet, the planet Mars actually has two moons. And who cares? So back on planet Earth, I guess it's mission control. Ziff is like, no, everything's fine. No, there's no problems. I didn't see any problems. The ship is fine. No problem. So he turns off like the alarm so that no one back on Earth knows that there's any problems with the ship. So up on the ship, Jules and Vern take off in the sailing ship to go try to, help Mom. That kid Jimmy is pretending to be Marty to entertain the people and keep them occupied while Clara and Doc, for some reason, go outside and spacewalk to try to figure out what's going on. Now, I know cartoons, you basically, the characters get a uniform and that's it. But does Clara always need to be in this 1850s looking dress? She's not right now. She's in a spacesuit. Now, for some reason, her spacewalk suit is pink and Doc is white. So I guess they have the women's spacesuits are pink. Again, folks, this is 1991. I don't know if that would fly today, but it seems a little old fashioned. So while they're doing that, Jules and Vern are on the other ship. Are they on the other ship yet? I don't even know. Right now, I think they're back. They're still back in Space Command, and they're blaming Ziff for the issues that happened with the spaceship, with the cruiser that's blown off course because of the saboteur. And he's like, "What are you talking about?" And then he, all of a sudden, these nuts and bolts fall out of his pocket, and so does Sabotage Weekly magazine, which shows you how to make bombs and do other things to sabotage things. So all of a sudden he's like, oh, I guess it is me. And he is about to try to escape. He says something about like, I think it's because of what the McFlys did to my grandfather. And he talks about his grandfather, Griff. And you're like, oh my God, Griff from Back to the Future 2 is his grandfather. He tries to escape and this rocket crashes into a jail. And who does he run into? He runs into a 100-year-old or whatever he is, Griff, his great-grandfather, is there. We actually get another character from the movies. Yes, it's Griff from Back to the Future 2, but he was there. What's the matter, McFly? Chicken? Remember? Get my mad dog. Or he would, what else did Griff do? What else? There was one line, the way Thomas Wilson says it. Let's see what... I forget he says it in the restaurant, but the answer is no, Griff. And then he walks out. What's the matter? Chicken? Anyway, it was just exciting to see Griff from Back to the Future 2. That was great. And I think he called his grandson a butthead. So they realized what the issue is, and Jules and Vern say, okay, we know what we can do. They head out to the... the sail ship, and they're ready to go find Mom and Dad. Meanwhile, Clara's like, oh my God, we're never going to get back. We're never going to get home. We're never going to see our kids again. And Doc is crying and Clara's crying. And then 5 seconds later, we see Jules and Vern fly up with one of the sailing ships that literally uses an old-fashioned ship wheel and wheels right up and picks them up. And we're like, everyone's happy. We're safe. Yay. And we don't see them. I guess they head back. They get back to the DeLorean and they go back and the train and go back to 1991. Not really. That's kind of it. And then we get back to Doc Brown at the end, and he talks about using his telescope, but he's using it to find a spot on the ceiling. But then he talks about how space is a vacuum, and we get Bill Nye, the science guy, again. This time, take a glass bottle, make a balloon, but put only a little bit of air in it so that it doesn't fit in the bottle. It's big enough to not fit in the bottle. Then light a match. At this point, Christopher Lloyd, because the whole time the voiceover is fake Doc Brown, I think. Maybe it's real Doc Brown. Christopher Lloyd pops on and says, "Kids, since you're using fire, help use your parents." And then they say, "Take this match, light a piece of paper on fire. Put the piece of, this is what they're telling this experiment to be. Put the piece of paper in a bottle, then put a balloon on it and you'll create a vacuum." Okay, that's great. But how many kids are going to say, I should have asked my parents. I forgot the part where he said, ask your parents. I just wanted to light something on fire. And then we jump back and we see Doc looking at a stain in his ceiling with the telescope. And that's it. That's the episode. That's the final that's the final moments of episode 9 of Back to the Future, Solar Sailors. I love that we see Griff, and I love that they go to the future. I love that we see a couple things with different robots, but there's nothing, it's not a great episode, but yet it still might be, that might be my favorite episode so far because of going to the future and running into Griff. But I think the thing I'm most happy about is the fact that I got this episode recorded at all. I think I started talking at 7:50 about, and I did my best to make it seem like I wasn't editing it or I wasn't stopping every few minutes, but it's 10 past 9 now. And I've only, this actual talking wise has been less than 20 minutes, but the time it's taken me to get from A to Z has been a little bit of a while. But again, I'm watching the Oscars. I told you that. I wish that Back to the Future was up for an Oscar every year. They should win. There should be like best movie of the decade Oscars. And, you know, obviously Back to the Future would have won in the 80s and in the 90s. But we don't have that. We're not able to do that. So unfortunately, I just have to watch these movies and know that every single one of the movies I'm seeing animated that I'm seeing nominated isn't Back to the Future. Like, they can do anything they want. They can make anything they want, but they can't be Back to the Future. And for that, they are lesser than. And that's a fact. So I'm going to end it now. So listen, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social, and Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. Go to YouTube and go to Fans Not Experts on YouTube. Please follow us and subscribe. It's very easy. Everyone has a YouTube account. Just hit subscribe. Okay? You don't have to get notifications. I don't worry about that. Just what was that little whistle in my throat? Just hit subscribe. All right. That's it, my friends. Go to fansonexperts.com to find every episode of this podcast and every other podcast we do. And I will talk to you again tomorrow. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I'll see you on Monday. But until then, here is my theme song. This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. 'Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time and I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode. Fans Not Experts.